these two amazing voices that people have been hearing. We have two amazing performers here. Let's bring them into the show.
All right. And how do you want to do that here?
Well, first of all, we have Rick Podell here, who we'll introduce a little later on. But the show we're talking about today, Michael, is a great show called Drama Queens from Hell. Of course, aptly named after my dating life in college, correct? Is that true?
Could be.
I could be wrong.
Yep.
And then we have another beautiful lady sitting next to Rick. Would you like to introduce her and give her the formal introduction she so rightly deserves?
Well, I certainly would. Aptly named for the patron saint of travelers. Our first guest started her professional career in Tokyo, Japan, at the age of 16. Her artistic journey quickly brought her to Broadway and continued on with roles such as Martha in 1776, one of my favorite shows, Maggie in Over Here, Margot in The Desert Song, and Huddle, in the revival of Fiddler on the Roof. The legendary Stephen Sondheim cast her to star in his West Coast production of Side by Side by Sondheim. She has appeared opposite Rob Lowe, Bruce Willis, Ed Asner, Johnny Depp, Benicio del Toro, Molly Parker, John Travolta, Victor Garber, Treat Williams, and Zero Mostow. Never heard of him. Film and television audiences know her from The Young and the Restless, where she played Ellie, The Bronx Zoo, and Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, to name only a few. Along the road, she has received numerous performance awards and nominations, including an Ovation Award, which is the Los Angeles Stage Alliance Award here, Backstage West Garland Award, and Stage Scene Honors. But most prized by her are the LA Weekly's Humanitarian Theater Award and the GLAAD Award for producing and co-hosting AIDS U.S. I'm sorry, is it U.S.
It's, co-creating. It's AIDS Us Portraits and Personal Courage.
There you go. AIDS Us Personal. AIDS Us Portraits and Personal Courage.
Say that 10 times in a row.
Right. A great title.
Her travels bring her in studio with us today on the State of the Arts. Please welcome Christopher Callan.
Just a few of those fans we've talked about who follow you around, I guess, yeah? I have a question.
Wow, I don't think I've ever had such a beautiful introduction on radio in my life, so thank you so very
much. Are you tired from all those jobs you've had? My goodness, you've worked constantly. It's
more,
amazing.
More, right? You know, I really want to be the next Betty White. I'm not kidding you. I feel that... that she is my idol. Just keep on going, keep on plugging, keep on working.
I love that. She's got such a spirit about her. Even when she was working with her husband on the game show Password, I think it was, or whatever, I remember being a kid watching those in reruns and just thinking she had such a light, such a spirit. Exactly. That's continued all of her life. You have that very same light. There's no doubt about it.
That's very sweet of you.
That's very
important
true.
Important to me.
Yes, we love Betty.
Yes.
Yeah, she's on that game show right now that they have resurrected to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Have you seen that, Rick?
No, I haven't. I was watching Pyramid the other day. They got a bunch of them going on.
They have. What's they're trying to take it back?
Yeah. Well, I think also for the networks, it's kind of an inexpensive way to hold your audience with a sentimental value. And as the audience gets older watching television, that 40 to 60 group, they remember those shows.
Right.
And they're still fun. You know, and you can see how smart you are by playing along. So it's.
I think they're just summer shows, I think.
But I think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
anything that gets there, especially with the internet and Netflix, anything that can bring your audience back to the network, I think is very important for studios and the networks and all that stuff.
Well, and of course, in reruns, they play on the Game Show Network. The Game Show Network buys up a lot of those, and a good friend of the show, Ed Hall, has done a lot of the voiceover and announcing for those shows.
Oh, so that's right.
Absolutely.
I got a $10 check from Hollywood Squares when I did it. So
right?
Still going.
What square were you in?
I was on the top square to the right next to Paul Lynde.
The guest square.
That was a fun show. But you'd do five in one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you do the whole week. So you did five in a day, and then if you're there, you do 10 or 15 or 20 of them, spread it over a period of a month and, 4 or 5 days. But you're going nuts by about the fourth show.
That's a lot of tic-tac-toe.
Get me out of the square.
But fun. That was a fun show.
Yeah.
I think it kind of lost its kind of, sparkle in the last kind of season of it.
Yeah.
I think they were just trying too hard,
Yeah, and it's every show runs its course, I think it just ended, and especially with the coming in of E.T. and Entertainment Tonight, that was really, at that point, the only place people could see, celebrities do that kind of a thing. And now...
That's a really good point.
E! Network and all those things... people are so close to everyone's life that way. They get as much frank dialogue as they want, and that show was meant to be like watching celebrities kind of off camera playing a game.
Right.
So. I'll tell you something that I saw last night, and I'm just inserting this, and then we're going to talk to Chris, but it's a very unusual series on E!, a young man, 20 years old, and I'm sorry his name escapes me as I say this. He is apparently the go-to Hollywood medium. And at 20 years old.
Wow.
It's very well constructed, this series. Wow. And his mother drives him to all of his appointments.
Wow.
This kid is charming. He looks like a grown-up...
Barrett?
Pardon?
We're on a Barrett?
Oh, no, no. Oh. I said grown up.
Oh, I thought you said grown up Barrett. I thought that'd be interesting.
Yes, it would be at 20 years old. No, Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, interesting.
Like a put together Macaulay Culkin.
Well, how do you know it's not just him playing a role now? I haven't heard from him for a while.
He's very charming.
Cool.
You can see it all happening in his head, and he is constantly writing what he's hearing.
Wow.
It's very interesting. Mm. And... with the exception of Chris Jenner, who I just don't like to see on TV anywhere. I'm sorry to say that, Chris, but it's true. She was one of the candidates, and the other two were celebrities of some note, not household names, but he nailed it with all of them. And he never knows who he's going to see. That's part of the conditions of his...
What network is it on? It was on...
It's on E!
E! Wow.
Entertainment.
Check it out.
Yes, some people have that gift, I believe. They do.
And I say that about Kris Kardashian because her daughter was sitting in the other room. And, of course, everything started to explode between the two of them. And, you know, it's like, what in the world are you doing? How much of it can we tolerate? We can't even... It's this boy's show, not your show.
Right.
You know, it's... Anyhow, back to somebody.
Got to get a sound cue for a Michael rant. I want a sound cue for
a time in the entertainment business. Talk
about somebody interesting.
And that's what our show is about, actually.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Chris, tell us what role you play in this show, this wicked show.
So I'm one of the three drama queens from hell.
No, I don't believe it.
Nah.
And so the premise. Tell us a little bit about the premise. It's about a remake of Sunset Boulevard.
That's right. And that starts all the commotion.
Yeah.
And once the word gets out on the street that they're going to be recasting the part of Gloria Swanson, and then it becomes the race on is for Norma. No. And so there are three of us. I represent, I should say, probably the mature, probably washed up actress who sees it as her last shot. And I'm going for it. And there is an African-American actress who is now going to be vying for it, given our political situation.
Very nice.
She gets a chance. And there is a transgender actress. So we're all the main ones that they focus in on. And who represents us all? Artie Paramecium, our fantastic agent, who is played by Rick
Dance. No, not Rick.
Playing against type, obviously.
Yeah, right. Playing into type.
This sounds like it. When I was reading up online, I immediately went back to No Exit, which is, of course, that has that famous line that says, "Hell is other people." And I think there's a bit of that in every audition room I walk into of, who am I going to see today? What conversations am I going to have? You're going to throw me off to what I have to go do here in a minute. What a fascinating concept for a show.
And that goes on, you know, very subtly sometimes and very overtly sometimes.
Are you saying in the show or
in the
life?
Show.
And in life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the beauty of it, I think. Don't you agree that Peter, who knows this business so well, Peter Lefcourt, the writer, he has nailed it in such a hysterical way, but the reasons it's so hysterical is because it's so true.
Absolutely.
Underlyingly.
Yeah, I think the director's concept was wild ambition for the play.
Yeah.
And I think when you see these three people fighting for this part, it's their whole lives are wrapped up in doing this. And so the competition rises, but it also rises with the political correctness that goes on in this country and who's allowed to read for what and why should anyone be excluded from anything.
Right.
So I think that's what gives it, you know, a lot of any good satire has some underpinning of a political nature which this play has, or has something to say about the situation we face today. Hmm. And it's funny. It's really a funny. I mean, it's one of the funniest scripts I've ever read. Yeah. Really funny.
Now, yeah. You mentioned another woman. Who is that that plays the other role?
That's Dee.
And then Chad Borden plays the other?
Dee plays the African-American woman in it, Dee Freeman. And then we have Chad Borden.
Chad Borden is playing
the transgender actress vying for the part.
And Andrew Diego's also in the show, is that correct?
Yes, he
is. Wonderful. That's great.
And he gets to play a lot of different roles. And that's the other part that's so much fun. It's really imaginative. And the other part I should say that I think is really ambitious and fantastic is that they have garnered clips from the actual movie. And it's interactive with us.
Wow.
It's just so ambitious and fabulous. And music. Rick gets to sing in it. I get to sing in it a little bit, but it's not really a musical. But they've interwoven music throughout.
Right.
I think Rick said there's really nothing like it. I've never seen anything like it before or since. It's
a real audience show too. That's the audience leaves feeling really good about all the people in it. It's an ensemble piece, and you really like all the characters in it. But I feel for an audience, it's a release away from the bombardment of all this, what's right and what's wrong and what's acceptable and what isn't. You can just forget about it for an hour and a half and just have a good laugh. You don't have to, be mired in a dinner conversation about Black Lives Matter, and have to take a side. You can just enjoy it,
That's... Well, I'm so there. We're there. We're there on opening night.
Oh,
you'll love it. Wonderful. You'll have a great time. We'll know your laugh now.
Now is this a 2-hour show? Is it a 1-act show?
How long is it running?
It has an intermission. Okay. We have a 15-minute intermission. I think it runs an hour and something.
And from everything I read, this sounds like a nonstop laugh riot, right? Like if you're looking to get out of the house and go somewhere where you can just laugh and have a good time, this is the show for you, right?
It is nonstop laugh. It is nonstop for sure.
Right, beginning to end. Totally.
Yeah, it is. So many words, and it's a real farce in its shape. Yeah. And you just, you kind of go, and there you go. And then it's one scene. And that's a challenge, for us actors, but it's really a wonderful, fun challenge.
And all the actors are terrific. I mean, the cast is amazing, really talented actors, And that's at least I love working with Christopher, but it's the fun of working with other really talented actors. That's what draws you to any piece, And rehearsals have been fun because people come up with a lot of different things. And Terry Hanna, our great director, allows us all to experiment, with your character, which has really been cool. That's been the best
Terry
part.
Terry has been phenomenal.
So he's very open-minded from the get-go? I mean, ask you to bring to the table what you want to bring? Does he ever say, I don't think so.
She's great. No, absolutely. No. She's great about that. And if something is too much, she'll help you find an alternative. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But she will never be negative about anything you do, unlike a lot of directors. That's she will always be positive and say, hey, that's good, but try this, or I love what you're doing with that. Go for this, And those kind of directors you really want to work for. When your wings get clipped and you get leery, it's like an athlete in basketball who misses a shot and the coach pulls him out. You don't worry about that. Yeah. You feel free to explore. Yeah. At least that's been my experience with this. And that's very freeing for an actor. It's very freeing,
And it's a true ensemble piece as well. And I love that.
All six people have a lot to do.
Everybody has their moment. Everybody, you're rooting for every single one. And it is a true group process.
Cool.
And we all get along so well.
So far.
We do.
What's the reviews come out? Who knows?
Of course, it would be a great group of actors because Michael Donovan cast.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Michael's great.
Our dear
Michael's
friend.
Michael's great. Yes. Oh,
he's
terrific.
Michael.
Michael. Really good.
And
really
you've
good.
Got Raquel Lerman, who is a wonderful producer. Planners. Yeah, you've got
Theater
the right
planners.
Group.
All the technical stuff is like, you would see it at the tape or anywhere else. It's all top notch,
I want to give a shout out to Mylette Nora as well, because she is our costume designer. And that's another thing that'll be fun for the audience, because we have costume after costume after costume and really fun costume. She's one of those designers. She goes down to the littlest little pearl, the littlest watch. She's got the details down. So.
And quick changes. You'll see people come back a minute later in a totally different costume, and you wonder, how the heck did that happen?
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
We wonder, too, sometimes. Yeah.
We are, of course, talking about Drama Queens from Hell, now on stage at the Odyssey Theater. And we're talking to two of the stars here today. Christopher, in reading over your bio and kind of looking at some of your online resources, you have traveled so much, starting in Japan when you were 16 years old. Tell me how you ended up here in Los Angeles in this show. Is that a story you feel free to share?
That's a wonderful question. I always say Christopher is the perfect name. I was named for the patron saint of travelers because my parents were traveling when my mom was pregnant with me.
Wow.
And then when I was 16, the family moved to Japan, and that changed my life because I became a singer there. And I would go to high school at the American school, and then I would, at night, I would be singing with the Japanese bands, and I learned to sing in Japanese, and then I finally learned the language a bit. But that was it. And then I came back, went to drama school in San Francisco, and then right away went to New York and had great success. Very, very lucky success, because within 8 weeks, I was on Broadway.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, an unheard of story, really. Yeah. And I realized that. So, actually, I have traveled to 41 countries. And that is also mostly because I was on a world tour of 42nd Street that was put on the Norwegian Cruise Line.
Wow.
And we were in Europe for 3 months. And then this happened around 9/11. And my agent said, look, you got a good job. We don't know what's going on here. Just stay out there. Yeah. And I went, okay. And I was dating somebody on the ship, so that was fine.
Like
and
the then captain.
It was the captain, actually.
Bingo.
I got the secret out. Okay. But anyway, then they were going to go down to South America. Oh. And I'd never been to South America. And we were in Chile and Argentina and Uruguay. Then I was like, okay, that's it. They said, well, you know, we're going to the Baltic, we're going to Russia, we're going to Iceland, I was like, and when I was a little girl, I would get up when I was like 14 years old and study Russian on television because I was drawn to knowing that. And I went, I'm going to Russia.
Wow.
Really? So really, it's through this amazing life that we have as an actor in the entertainment business that travel is part of that, and I somehow knew that, and I've taken advantage of it.
That's so great.
Yeah. What a story.
Right?
Huh? Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because coming full circle, when I was decided to be an actor, Shrine Auditorium, 11 years old, looked down, there was My Fair Lady touring, and the curtain went up, and I'd never been to a show before, and I went, they get to sing and act and travel.
Yeah.
I can do that. So travel is part of me.
Wow. Yeah. Have you done it, though? I mean, would you continue to travel like that? That's hard.
Oh, I'll be traveling till the day I croak.
Okay. I'm talking to Betty White here. Come on.
although I have settled down in L.A. for quite a few years now, and I'm enjoying not that. But every once in a while I get itchy feet like a true gypsy, and then I go away. But it's nice to have a place to come home to, and then I appreciate that.
That's great.
So.
Wow. And you do a lot of traveling, too.
I do. I travel quite a bit, some of it willingly, some of it not so much. Yeah. So, but, yeah, we hit between, with work and with leisure, we hit between 15 and 20 states a year all throughout the United States. Although internationally, we've cut our travels so much with two kids. I think that changes things quite a bit. But, yeah, I love to travel as well. And I love that story that you were named Christopher after the saint. And Mom and Dad were like, nope. That's her name. That's what her name is going to be. That's a really cool story.
They had no idea how unusual that was.
Do people call you Chris or Christopher or Chrissy?
I don't particularly care for Chris or Chrissy. Or I like Christopher, but when I was younger, I was very embarrassed by my name, and I tried to pass like I had an ordinary name. But then thank God I grew out of that.
I love it. Well, it was very easy to find you when you put an actress after Christopher. So it was very interesting to find you
online.
That's
a good thing, I guess.
That's what you want, is a name that's memorable and nobody will ever forget that. I like that very much, Christopher. It was beautiful.
They did a good thing for me.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. Will you hang around and talk while we talk to Rick a little bit more, too?
Absolutely. Good. I'd love that.
We're going to take a couple minutes here, and we're going to do a live arts calendar, but we definitely want to come back and talk a little more about that. Just real quick, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Drama Queens from Hell, which is now on stage at the Odyssey Theater. Performances are August 20th through September 25th, and you can easily get tickets by visiting plays411.com. facebook.com/drama queens, or you can call 323-960-7787. That's 323-960-7787.
And the Odyssey Theater is one of the great theaters in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
And very distinguished. And our live arts calendar, as you said, will kick off here with Shakespeare.